Hello, Blenders, and welcome to a very special bonus edition of Real Blend. And it's just your guy, Sean O'Connell, the managing director here at Cinema Blend. The other guys are not with me because they are super busy and getting ready for the main episode. But whenever we have a really cool interview with a filmmaker that we know you guys want to learn more about, we put them into these bonus episodes. They don't have numbers to them. They don't have blend games. It's basically just me doing an introduction with Gabe to throw to an interview that we were able to do. So this is with Trey Edward Schultz, the director of a movie called Waves that's been making the rounds on the film festival circuit and is going to be coming to a theater near you. I have mentioned on the show before that this movie really devastated me. But the difficulty is that I can't explain why it was so moving and emotional without giving away key points about the movie. And so we're definitely not going to do that in this episode, and we're really not going to do it in the interview. Part of the fun of interviewing Trey for this interview is that he knows he doesn't want to give away some of the major beats in the film. And so we figure out some really fun ways, some interesting ways to talk about his process and get into the meat of the movie without giving away anything to it. So in a way, I'm telling you guys to listen to this, go out and see Waves and support this film. It's easily top 10 for me on the year. I'm gonna try and figure out where it lands. And then, come back to the show, because once we know that a lot of people have seen it, we're going to discuss the film in greater detail, probably get into some spoilers. And this interview will always be there for you guys to go back and listen to. So I was able to sit down with Trey Edward Schultz at the Savannah Film Festival, the SCAD Savannah Film Festival this year. Thankful to those guys for setting this interview up. And so without further ado, here is our bonus episode of Real Blend with our interview with the director of Waves, Trey Edward Schultz. Guys, I have been raving about Waves since I was able to see it in the 919 Film Festival. I've been talking about it here on the podcast, and I am thrilled to be joined here by Trey Edward Schultz. He's in Savannah with me here, ready to show off Waves. How are you, sir?
Thrilled to be here. I feel great.
Good.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. It's a pleasure. You could have named this film just about anything. Why, why Waves?
It's true.
What's the importance of Waves or the significance of it to the film?
It's true. I think for me, it's thematic. You know, I think the movie, for me, it's about kind of the highs and lows in life, and the highs and lows in love, and everything in between. And, life has its ups and downs. It has its waves. And, and then it goes on and on and boring. Like, it is in Florida, but then there's a Kanye song I love called Waves that it's not named after, but it's funny because it's about similar things. And I don't know. It goes on and on. But at the end of the day, it's like, this thing was brewing forever and I had no idea what the heck the title was, because it's about so many things and has so much in it. And then it was like, you get a title. It's like Waves. Wait, that's it.
Okay.
I have the gut feeling it's right. And then it's right because of this and that. And then, yeah, that's what it is.
Is the song in the movie?
The song's not in the movie.
Oh, okay. Did you ask him? Can I get it?
No, I mean, we have one Kanye song and that's the only song we asked for. The movie's not actually named after the song.
Sure.
But it's another, I'm very like, I believe in things are meant to be, you know what I mean, like connectivity between things.
Sure.
And that they're meant to be for a reason. So yeah, just the fact that that song had overlays with what our movie's about, it was like, oh, that's another reason it feels meant to be.
Well, I'll go down this route too. I wasn't planning on, but music is really important to the movie.
It is.
And the way that you stitch your scenes together, not just the score. I'll get into the score later. Yeah. But talk about how you pick songs and how songs move your narrative forward.
Yeah, it's a lot. For this, I think the DNA, you know, this movie's been in the back of my head forever, and elements of it. And I think the DNA that it started at were like teens and music.
Right.
So like for over a decade, when I'm listening to music, I've been dreaming about images or like a moment or a scene or something that could be attached to this movie. So I sort of was building this epic playlist because I always had in the back of my mind that I thought it would be a sort of soundtrack film, mm-hmm. you know, in the vein of a lot of films I love, like, Dazed and Confused or Boogie Nights or Goodfellas or something. And sure. In the sense of the music is, it's a character in the piece, you know, and it's a part of the ebb and flow. So I really just thought that was sort of what this movie was. And the overall goal was that the music brings you closer to the characters, you know, to their world, to their headspace. And then also, I think if you just took out the music and put it in playlist form, that a story is being told from song to song.
Okay.
That echoes the narrative that's happening with the movie.
Do you have soundtracks that you loved, you know, that just remind you of movies?
Yeah, I mean, for the movies I just listed right there,
sure,
and many, many more. Music's a big, yeah, I love music.
Absolutely. I want to emphasize, we're not going to get into spoilers in
Got
this
it.
Conversation.
Great.
Because as I was telling you earlier, the best piece of advice I got from someone was, don't read anything about this movie, just go.
Yeah.
And the best way that you can experience it is truly just by enjoying it. So I'm gonna dance around a lot of stuff.
Great.
But I want to talk about one of your main characters, Tyler.
Yes.
Who is beautiful and painful and fascinating. And I want to, his journey is just riveting. So you say you had this story for a long time, so you didn't write him with Kelvin in mind.
Well, it's layered. Basically, like, this story and elements of it were brewing forever. And, like, it started with all personal stuff. But I will say, before I met Kelvin, and I think before a few other things happened in my life, like, it didn't click into place. It was like, what is this thing? You know what I mean? It was like a brother and a sister, and some of this happens, some of that happens, a tragedy, they're linked. But I couldn't put it all into a coherent narrative.
Okay.
And then, like, so I never actually, like, did real writing on it until after I met Kelvin. So I met Kelvin on my last film, It Comes at Night.
Right.
And it was simple. Like, I thought he was amazing, and we got along, and we only got closer and closer. And then it became like, you know, I love this person. We love each other. Let's make something we love together.
Right.
And it just started there. So I think the writing really started clicking into place, and Kel and I were having these like mini therapy sessions where, as I was writing, we were like doing text messages and phone calls and talking about, both our experiences at that point in our lives, you know, as teens, and, especially like 17, 18, you know, you're not a kid, you're not an adult. We talked about, and you feel everything. And we talked about dynamics with his father, with mine, with his mother, with mine, girlfriends, if we had any, or lovers, and the pressures and everything else. So basically, I think it was like everything coming together, and then that collaboration with him that continued through everything, that really was like, it's what it all came together to be, if that makes sense.
Okay.
How it all finally clicked into place.
This kid goes through such a journey.
Yeah.
And my highest compliment I can pay to him without spoiling anything is that he's extremely credible on every stage of that, every step of the way.
Good.
Right?
Thank you.
It's unbelievable.
That's all we care about.
I want to talk a bit about how your story doesn't adhere to a traditional structure.
Yeah.
And the interesting way that you figured out how to break that, and the trust that you have in your audience to follow them when your story shifts gears.
Yeah.
How can we talk about that without?
It's a great question. I'd say I will say, like, from just like a base level, I love movies. I'm always, I think, trying to get back to how, like, I was when my mind was blown from some movies at a young age.
Okay. Can you give me examples? What are some that still stick with you?
The three that always stick with me that I saw probably younger than I should have were, like, Clockwork Orange, okay, Raging Bull, and Boogie Nights.
Okay.
saw pretty young, fairly young. Up until that point, I loved and I was obsessed with movies, but it was all
Clockwork, like, will mess you up.
It will mess you up. Because all I was watching was like Terminator and Aliens, and like, I mean, they're still, but they're like big action movies,
sure,
you know, and like Spielberg and E.T. and everything else. And then those movies, they literally like melted my mind.
Sure.
It was like, I don't know how to, it was like this bigger vision or something. It's essentially something I've never seen before.
Sure.
And my mind has been melted. So I think I'm always trying to get back to that. Not that I'm anywhere close, but at a base level, I want to try to make stuff that feels unique and that I haven't seen before.
Sure.
So I think just the narrative in the unorthodox nature of the structure in the narrative, what a huge part of it was that, you know. I think also, you know, probably 8 years ago or something, I saw Chungking Express for the first time, and that I don't know why it was. Well, I do know why it was that movie, because I love a lot of two part movies, and I love kind of movies with intermissions and diptychs. And but that movie with the two different lovers on each half, whatever reason, in the spirit of that movie, like it all clicked into place, and I was like, oh, it could be the Waves could be two parts. It could be a brother and a sister.
Okay.
And yeah, so it was all of that good stuff. And it just continued to grow and grow to where I ultimately hope, you know, I don't think this is spoiling anything, but I think
you're okay.
Okay, good.
So far.
I think it's hard to tell
because I've seen it.
I know. Exactly. I got excited about the idea because for me, life isn't always a three-act structure. You know,
sure.
It's unexpected,
right?
And it's messy and it's all over the place. And like, but like the idea of like the movie kind of building to a panic attack, and then you have that. And then I hope the movie feels like it gives you a hug and let you breathe a bit and try to put things into perspective.
Yes.
The spirit of that felt true to the spirit of, the way things have gone in my life and loved ones' lives. And that just got really exciting to me.
I have a great follow-up that I can't ask you now.
Okay.
So I'm going to wait till the Q&A.
Save it for the Q&A.
When other people have seen it.
I love it.
I love how comfortable you are in very different genres. Nobody's going to pigeonhole you at all. Is that really important to you to be able to keep playing in different genres?
Yeah, it's a good question. I will say I usually don't start with, at least so far, I've only made three movies. I don't start with genre.
Okay.
I'd say it kind of starts from the personal and then figuring out. Like, honestly, I think my last movie became like a sort of drama horror thriller because I was writing it in grief, and it was the emotions I felt were so heavy. The only way to put that into anything remotely digestible was that genre, you know? So I don't know. Honestly, I do love the idea of just trying to push myself and do something different, but I have no idea where it will go from here.
Do you have one in particular you'd love to play in that?
Honestly, like my dream kind of movie is figuring out what I consider like contemporary, like a contemporary silent film.
Okay.
Cause I love, you know, cinema started silent. It started with just images and sound. So I love trying to have as little dialogue as possible. And I love like turning off movies and seeing if a story is still being told without sound. And then I consider some contemporary movies like contemporary silent films. Like to me, like Under the Skin or even Mad Max Fury Road, like you could turn the picture off and feel those viscerally and understand them with the visuals. So I have no idea what that is, but that's, I don't know if that's a legit genre, but that's sort of a dream.
Do you find yourself taking out dialogue then as you go through scenes?
I do always think I want to, if I can, definitely. Yeah, I'm trying to think because I definitely don't do a pass where I'm like, okay, I'm going to do a strip away dialogue or something. But it is just very organic. And I just try to make sure the camera's telling a story and everything the film grammar of the film is doing is telling a story always, you know.
Because I'll say this about your cast.
Yeah.
The camera loves them.
Yeah, amen.
They are expressive.
They're
and riveting.
I think the best cast in the world.
They are riveting.
I'm in love with them, man.
There's a scene that is so real, and I'll talk about this scene out of context when they're fighting, the couple's fighting, and he's driving and she's walking away.
Yep.
We have all been there.
Yep.
Right?
Thank you.
How many times you've been in a situation like that?
Yes. Like, so the funny thing is even that moment is like inspired by stuff I saw between my parents as a kid.
Okay.
And then like couples fight. Sure. That's a huge part of love. Like it's difficult. Like loving and being with another human being is hard and you fight.
Right.
I think that's okay. Unfortunately, I mean, it does get, you know, the relationship goes to some very bad places in this instance. But like that, thank you for that. That scene, I got in the car, Drew and I, we just wanted to get out of the way. We had two cameras going and let them go. And it was like, it was like we were documenting, you know, it wasn't a movie. It was real and amazing. And they blew me away.
Are you a multiple takes director?
Not anything insane at all. I'm definitely, I'm like as little takes as it takes.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, I'd say, I don't know how many, I'd guess honestly on Waves, I don't know if we ever went over like 9 takes for something.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
When you got it, you got it.
Yeah, absolutely. When we got it, we got it. And then maybe sometimes we can push it a little more, but I don't like to, I don't want to mess it up if you got it.
We were lucky enough to have Robert Eggers, who directed The Lighthouse and The Witch, on the show most recently. What I was most fascinated by his process was that he has it mapped out to the nth degree of where his camera's going to be, where everything's blocked. The actors almost come in late in the process and he tells them, here's where you're going to be. I don't think you could be like that because of the way that you immerse your camera.
Yep.
So how much fun is it to just figure out in the scene, here's where I'm going to put the camera, because I've seen you do some crazy stuff in this movie that is unlike anything I've seen in most other films.
Oh, well, thank you.
Sure.
It's, I will, I honestly, I didn't think, like when I was a kid, I didn't think shooting a movie would be the most fun part. I don't know, because I always, I loved editing too, and I still edit, but like shooting is for me the most fun part.
Okay.
And I will say, it's a lot of, we prepare like crazy, like Drew, my DP and I, we shot list everything to death. The crew, and we go over it with the crew and the cast, and I have, we, like, it's very collaborative. We go over everything, and but then like we show up on the day and we want to be inspired and change and do whatever.
Sure.
And curveballs come your way, new inspiration comes, so we just want to be ready and feel alive. And ultimately, no matter what we're doing, we want to get out of the, so like we want to figure out the technical film stuff,
right,
but then figure out how to make it feel like for the actors that there's no camera there and they can just be.
Okay.
And it's just so much fun. It's exhilarating.
Did you hear your film, without spoiling anything, can almost be described as, one bad decision, you know, one bad moment. Did you hear a lot of stories like that when you were researching it, when you were putting it together? People who have a moment where they just say, if I just made the right decision in that moment, my life would be different.
I mean, I think we can all connect to that, right? Like, this is just that escalated to, like, ultimately the worst degree. But I have so much regret in my life and so many the smallest thing. Every day you have the smallest thing, but then you have big things, too. And you have... you know, I think a lot of personal things too, with loved ones and, or moments being ingrained in my mind that I wish wouldn't have happened, whether it was me or someone else, you know, and seeing it. And, it's all that stuff. And in, and in researching that and everything, it's very much what this movie's about. And I think it's even more of what's, this tragedy at the center, you know.
I love David Fincher. He's one of my favorite directors of all time. You poach his composers, Trent Reznor,
very
Atticus
blessed.
Ross. Yes.
Very blessed.
Tell me how they got involved in the collaboration and what mood did they bring to your picture?
I'm just, again, so blessed. The they reached out to me, shockingly. I got one of the coolest emails of my life. It was just Trent Reznor's like reps were like, Trent Reznor wants to meet you.
Really?
Are you interested? I was like, of course. especially this movie too. I remember like tearing my shoulder in high school and filming weird stuff in my backyard and editing it to Nine Inch Nails. And
no like, kidding, really?
Yeah. So
you get that email that has to blow your mind.
It's nuts. And it feels meant to be. It's
right.
Like another like, this is insane. How does this work? But it's like, oh, of course it does. You know what I mean? But then, so the perfect thing was like, I flew to LA and met them and it was just amazing energy right away. And we felt connected and they dug my other movies and I was writing Waves at the time and I sent them the script and I was honestly terrified when I sent them the script because it had over 30 like songs embedded into it and none of them were Nine Inch Nails.
Okay,
so I thought they were going to be like, where does our score fit into this?
Right.
And where do we fit into this? And it wasn't. They loved the script and they were really excited. And working with them was amazing. It was, and I think ultimately too, it was really like, the score works in a way the songs don't, in the sense of it's like truly the spirit of the characters coming out. And I think connecting brother and sister as well.
Right. Did you approach the scenes in the second half different than the front half feels claustrophobic?
Yeah.
The second half feels freeing.
Yes.
Did you approach them differently because of that reason?
Honestly, I don't think so, in the sense that everything we approach is what the character is going through at that moment.
Okay.
You know, so if it's Tyler and Lexis, if it's Tyler and his parents, whatever it is, if it's in Tyler's world and in the first section, we're just trying to understand where he's at mentally.
Right.
And get you closer to that experience with the camera, with the sound, with the music, everything. So, and the same thing goes to Emily in the second half. So I would say while the tone and everything else is a bit different, it's approached in the same way.
Okay, you have a POV shot from her bedroom into his when it's empty. It fucking wrecked me. It's so beautiful. I want everybody to see this so we can all talk about it at length. I want to talk about, we are a technical podcast, if you weren't able to tell that from the questions so far. I want to get into the very sexy Foley work that you did in the film.
Hell yeah.
Because I tweeted this, there's a moment in the middle of the film where there's a sound that happens, there's an event that happens. And my audience made a sound that I've never heard an audience make before.
Yeah.
You very clearly put a lot of... I mentioned to you also there's something very early on with the shoulder popping that I was like, damn, this guy's doing something special. Yeah. You put a lot of attention into Foley work. So tell me why it's important to you.
I mean, I do have to say I can't take credit for it because ultimately it's the sound team.
Sure.
Johnny Burns, my sound dude, and he's the best in the world and his team's amazing. Like for us, it's everything. Like the nuance of a sound is so, like the specificity of the right sound goes a mile further in making a story effective than the wrong sound. You know what I mean? So it's everything from a specific sound like you're talking about to the dynamics of the mix to how we're using the speakers and experimenting. And then ultimately, like, I'm just going back on it, but it's like, it's just to get you closer to what that character's feeling.
Right.
So in those moments, my dream is that you're feeling the pain that they're feeling.
Right.
And I think if we're more specific with that Foley work and just the nuance of like the specificity of these sounds, I think it's just going to be more immersive and bring you closer to the world they're in.
Okay. Trey and I are going to go to dinner very soon. So I'm going to get him out of here on this question. You've been able to take this film around to a bunch of different festivals, some major film festivals. You've been able to share it with audiences and get their feedback. What's been the best part about this early part of the journey before Waves even gets out to the general public?
Ooh. I would say two things. I would say one is just getting to travel with the cast, like these human beings I love. We were in like Middleburg a few weeks ago and like, I don't know, it was like late at night and we got a bottle of champagne and went to a fire and talked with like Tang, Kelvin and it just like connected in a deeper way and all this, why are we here? Where are we? Like we're at this beautiful golf course in like the middle of nowhere with this fire and the kind of things that would only happen in these situations.
Okay.
And like, so that is hugely amazing. And then also there's nothing like it. Like looking people in the eyes after they've connected with the film.
Sure.
And talking to them. And we've had some of the most beautiful Q&As in my life. You know, I don't think the movie's for everyone, but I do think the people that connect with it hard. And like, just, it's so like getting on my phone and searching social media, searching other reactions. It's nothing compared to like looking another human being in the eyes and like feeling their connection.
Right.
It's one of the most humbling feelings in the world. So that's been truly amazing.
That's awesome. When can people see it?
It's going to be New York and LA November 15th.
Okay.
And then expanding every week after that. Right. I don't know exactly how rapid and whatnot. It will probably depend on how it does. But I think we're trying to be like limited nationwide by Thanksgiving.
Okay. And anyone who listens to this show knows we support the theatrical experience wholeheartedly. So get off your couches and go see this movie.
Please.
See it with a crowd because I swear to you, I'm not exaggerating. That festival audience made a sound I've never heard them make before. And I realized this guy's got us wrapped around his finger at this point right now. And it was great. I mean, I go to the movies for that, right? I chase that feeling. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure. Yeah, this was great. Thank you.
In addition to thanking our good friends at the SCAD Savannah Film Festival, I want to give a shout out to A24 that worked really hard to set up this time with Trey Edward Schultz and Real Blend when we were in Savannah covering the film festival. And they knew I was a huge fan of this movie. Trey ended up being such a great guy. I think that comes through in the interview. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Head over to social media. Let me know what you guys thought about this chat. Real Blend, at Real Blend, R-E-E-L-B-L-E-N-D. Of course, follow the guys at Jake's Takes, at Kevin McCarthy TV, and at Sean underscore O'Connell. We'll be back later on with a full episode, which is going to have this week. We're going to have an interview with Jamie Lee Curtis on behalf of Knives Out. And thank you, everybody, for taking the time to download not just the full episodes every single week, but these bonus episodes as well, too, because we want to be able to bring you more interviews like this on the Real Blend feed. And every time you guys download one of them, it shows the kind of support that we can get for these one-offs. And we keep bringing more interesting interviews to keep you guys entertained. So until we're back as a full team, and doing a complete episode, Dunkirk.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.